Luna, who do you see winning?
Impossible at one.
So it's up to me even to get enemies from Belgrade, not yeah. only for
be
her
careful,
methods.
So Julia, thank you. Be careful.
Hello, EuroLeague fans. How are you doing? Welcome back to another episode of EuroLeague and Friends. My name is Vasiliki Karamouza, and I'm talking to you from Athens, Greece. We're here, of course, to talk about basketball and other things, but I won't say what those will be yet. If you haven't already known that, EuroLeague and Friends is brought to you by 9 contributors from 9 different countries that host EuroLeague teams, but we bring news and our expertise with a little bit of a twist. We share some insights, and we're here to make fun. But of course, I'm not here alone. I have 3 amazing, incredible women with me. Let me introduce you my co-host, starting from Paris, France, the one and only Luna Jackson. Luna, I know you had a big, big and full week, but I hope you still have the energy inside you. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm really great. And for your league, always energy. Always have it.
That's what I like to hear. Going to Milan, Italy, Giulia Cicchine. Giulia, I heard you want to be in Athens. Is that correct?
Yes, totally correct. I really wanted to be like you. I wanted to be you, actually, in Athens. So, do you buy me a ticket to come? I don't know.
I have a surprise for you, but we will leave that until the end of the show to keep the audience interested. Quick thing, because some people were mad, like people in Greece are always mad, be prepared for that too. Some people were mad that you said like both Panathinaikos and Olympiakos play in Athens because Olympiakos plays in Piraeus, which is a different city. So for those who were insulted by that, she was meaning the proximity. And the fact that I can go to both games.
I'm sorry for that. Because, you know, I come from Milan. And Milan is a very big city. And the all other places around Milan is called Interland. So I'm sorry if I thought that Piraeus it's the Interland of Athens. I'm sorry. I gotta learn.
You gotta learn. I will have you do that. But last but not least, we have another co-host with us, the amazing Aleksandra Radivojevic from Belgrade, Serbia. Big game coming to town. Alex, are you excited about that?
Hey, Vasiliki. Hi, girls. Yeah, I'm super excited about the Serbian derby. I can't wait to see how the teams are going to perform, but also the spectacular atmosphere. We're going to talk about that in this show, but also in a pre-game show with me and Shani, co-host. So, yeah.
That will be amazing. I have a small personal experience with that in the Greek derby, and I can assure you, you won't be able to hear nothing.
Yeah. That's a good advice. Thank you.
Yeah. I just wanted to let you know beforehand so you don't freak out at that moment. You won't be hearing anything because I know how crazy fans are in Serbia too.
Yeah, no, I'm prepared for that, but I don't know about Shani because it's going to be her first Serbian derby ever. So yeah, I'm trying to prepare her as well.
Yeah, before we talk about basketball, I want to bring food into the conversation because I know we're all a bit of foodies. So I wanted to ask you, what did you girls have for breakfast? Like, what's the usual type in Milan, Giulia?
Well, obviously coffee. In Milan and in Milan's hinterland, it's coffee. Well, actually, in the whole Italy, it's coffee. But for me, it's frappe. That tastes like coffee because I want to have some more important in the morning because I'm not like Shani because I try to exercise myself, to practice, to do something. So I need more things to eat and drink. How about you girls?
Yeah, for me, it's not something like traditional and particular one for breakfast. It's usually eggs or something like that. Also, croissants are very popular in Serbia too. But speaking about the traditional things inside the breakfast, it's the traditional cheese in Serbia. It's kajmak. You should try it when you come to Belgrade or any other city in Serbia. And usually every family made its own. So it's very special for us. But with that, coffee is always there. A Turkish one, I assume that Vasiliki knows what I'm talking about. The strongest one ever, like the coffee, is half of the breakfast for Serbian people, for sure.
I'm sorry, Vasiliki, but that we don't have to start this podcast with a fight, because the only coffee that people know in the world is Italian. So,
but make it cold, please. Make it cold.
It's coffee. Coffee must be drink hot.
Luna, what about pan chocolat?
Oh, you know that, Vasiliki?
Of course. Yeah, was of my pronunciation correct?
This is really great. Yeah, it's like, okay, so like bread with the chocolate. You know, there is a debate in France, a huge debate, because we can, in the north of France, we call that like pain au chocolat, but in the south, it's chocolatine.
Oh. But it's the same thing, but you just call it different?
It's exactly the same thing, but there's a huge debate. Like when you say pain au chocolat to like a person from the south, it won't suit you. Like it will be like, what are you talking about?
Okay, but I have another debate I want to talk about, and it's the MVP of January. I know this month lasted forever, like it always happens with January, but we still have one game left. So there are some names like are involved in this conversation. Fenerbahce is the only beaten team, 5-0. So maybe Nigel Hayes-Davies or Marco Guduric will be up for the award. But there's also another strong candidate, and his name is no other like Sasa Vazenkov. Olympiacos is 4-1. They lost to Fenerbahce last week, but Sasa's numbers are amazing. He has been averaging 24 points and 6 rebounds in 5 games while shooting with 75% on 2 field goals, 53.6% in threes and 95.2% in free throws. That's my candidate. I don't want to hear nothing more. I'm all for Sasa now. I'm all for Sasa.
I totally agree, Vasiliki. I need to say, as coach Andrea Trinchieri asked Denise in one halftime interview, I think, in one of the previous games, like, do you love numbers? Yeah, like, yes, we do love numbers. And I think numbers speaks a lot. So I'm totally for Sasha Vezenkov, even though Nigel Hayes-Davies and Marco Guduric are leading Fenerbahce right now. They're in a good shape, both of them, but also the whole team. And I think the team basketball that they are showing these couple of rounds, it's something special and unique for Fenerbahce. But I think we had a game for Sasha Vezenkov with 45 points. So yeah. I think there is no such a debate about that.
I would say Hayes-Davies, you know, I like him a lot. I mean, he's one of my favorite players in the EuroLeague. And also, like, I think he deserves it because in terms of numbers, of course, I think your candidate, I mean, deserve everything. But Hayes-Davies is on the loop, like, since the beginning of the season. So
we have to remind people that you were all up for DJ Shorts when Hayes-Davies was up against him. And DJ Shorts won the award. So maybe you feel like... Nigel Hayes-Davies deserved that one.
I feel sorry for him because I had to defend TJ Shorts, remember? So I had to crush Hayes-Davies a little bit. But no. I think he's an amazing player, and I think he deserves it because on the long way, you know, he's here on the long run, and he did like amazing numbers since the beginning of the season. So I think it's his time now.
Julia, what about you?
So if I have to say something for my Greek friends, I should say Sasha Vezenkov. But it's a fight now. And I'm sorry, obviously the numbers are all on its side. And the game, the almost record game, he had that 52 PAR. Probably no one in his whole career had that high PAR, or I don't know, because basketball is a bit of numbers, but I'm not. So... I would say here, but if we have to look back at the beginning of the season, I remember that in one episode, Denise said that one of the best players in this league, obviously, and we need a girl like her, but we already know that because she said that Marco Guduric was one of a kind and was the man that Fenerbahce needed in the lowest and in the highest moment. So obviously, Nigel Hayes-Davies is the one that put the points for the team.
Yeah.
But the other one, Marco Guduric, is the glue guy, the guy that makes all the things go better when it's not going better, when it's getting worse, when it's getting in the highest, as I was saying before. So to put this episode into an equity part, I would like to say one between Marco Guduric and Nigel Hayes-Davies, because we just have to face, what do you prefer? The guy with the highest performance ever with a 4-1 record, which is obviously amazing, or the team that performs 5-0 with two players exchanging the MVP role or the leading guy role?
Yeah, I'm on this side. you know, but like, it's, I think it's a good question. Like, what's your favorite style of MVP? You know, what do you prefer in a MVP? What do you seek for in the MVP?
For me, the MVP is totally individual award.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was about to say. Okay. And I remember Alex saying, like, we have MBA, which is all about individuals, but this particular award, it's an individual one. It's not about the team. But these go hand in hand because you can be the MVP and scoring 25 points and your team losing all the time. You have to help your team as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I would love an award for duos, you know, for like two players of each team. You know, sometimes you can see like an award for dynamics, you know, for, I think it would be nice. Yeah. I don't know what you think about it.
We should pitch it to the board of EuroLeague and make it happen next week.
I love friendships. That's why.
Okay, so the MVP debate will be settled after round 24. So now we have to move on a little bit. I want to go to the Serbian derby. But before we talk about the game itself, I want to ask you girls, if you had the opportunity to bring one celebrity to Beogradska Arena to experience these amazing vibes of the Serbian derby, who would it be? And I will start, of course, with Alex because she is the host on this one.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about it in terms of who would I want to see, how he reacts on some moments, particular moments during the game. And I would love to have only one camera for that guy, and it would be Shaq.
Wow. Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool.
Yeah, I would love to have him not only in the stands, but also in a post-game show.
I have an idea. It's you're gonna call me crazy, but I think about two rappers in France. I don't know if you know them. It's they call like Caris and Booba.
I have no idea.
Rappers, and they know to be like, you know, always fighting to each other. Like it's really, you know, they are like enemies or something, but they are like huge rappers in France. Like when they do like,
yeah, they would completely fit in then.
They will lose their minds.
Well, in terms of all-time show, since it's the time for just starting to talk about Super Bowl, the kind of dissing between Drake and Kendrick Lamar, the one that you want to see.
Definitely.
We have just something like that in Europe too.
I just want to see big stars, big stars, amazing ones. So my pick from America, my two picks, if I have to choose, the first one, it's obviously Taylor Swift,
because she's
involved in sports. She's involved because she is an NFL fan, obviously, for Travis Kelce, but I think that she admire sports, she admire athletes, so I think that she will be one of the craziest picks ever. And my second pick will be the queen of the shows, the girl, the queen. I would like to say
it's
the
Beyonce?
Queen.
Beyonce,
it's Beyonce. It's Beyonce.
That would be crazy.
Do you imagine?
But girls, if we speak about other athletes, I would love to add always, Novak Djokovic and, of course, his son, Stefan.
Yeah.
Because Novak is a huge Red Star fan. We know that. But
he's a regular there.
Yeah. He usually comes to every big game. But now, since Partizan is home team, I guess Stefan, his son, will bring his dad to the game because Stefan is cheering for Partizan. It's unique.
Wow.
It's unique in
Serbia.
I didn't
know that.
I don't even know to explain how that happened, actually. It's a kind of a mystery in every Serbian family. But yeah, it's so rare and unique. But it's interesting, and I think it's an important message to all of the fans in Serbia that, you know, we can cooperate together, we can be a family, we can be very good friends, no matter who is cheering for Zvezda or Partizan. And I think that's very important to see. And Novak is always welcomed also to Partizan's games because he's like above everything.
Yeah, definitely. That's the most important. That's really nice.
Well, we have to see how he can come back from Australia because about what happened in the Australian Open. But we just have to see.
But every time when he got injured, like he take his time to go to see another sports or something like that. So yeah, I hope we're gonna see him.
let's say it, basketball is the best medicine, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, always. Yeah.
That's a line from now on. Basketball is the best medicine. I will use it as a caption in one of my next Instagram stories for sure.
This is really good.
Then tag me, please.
Yeah, of course. You
give me my credit.
But I haven't told you yet who I'm inviting.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would go with Adam Sandler, you know, from The Hustle.
Okay.
Maybe Juan Serna Gomez can like shoot us up with his number and like make this happen.
Yeah.
Because like he's a big basketball fan. He made this whole movie with so many NBA stars. Mike James was on the film, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah.
He has appeared in some scenes. So yeah, I think he would love it there. But we have to move on because there is a lot more to discuss now. And I'm going to Luna and we're going back to Paris a little bit. We haven't talked about Paris in a while.
Yeah.
There are some bumpy roads up and down. So what's the situation now? Paris is playing against Anzvel. Again, the team that ended their 10-win strike. Now they're crossing paths again. What's the situation there, Luna?
Well, as you know, I think it was like a great beginning of the season. I think the 10-win streak was just amazing. I think they needed that and they needed to prove that they own their place in EuroLeague. I think, of course, you know, when you like you do a series like this, of course, at some point you have like you're tired. It's the it's the middle of the season, so I think it was predictable to have this. I think it was normal, but I'm pretty happy how it turned out because you see like the double week against FS and Maccabi, they won both.
Yes,
it was a back to back, so I think they prove once again that they can come back from sometimes difficult situation. I think that's what I like about EuroLeague. Sometimes you're at your highest peak and sometimes it's more difficult, but you always come back eventually. And you know, against Partizan, I think it was like it was difficult. I think Partizan was really offensive. So, I mean, Paris was like having some difficulty, to answer to this. But I'm still confident, you know, not because it's my favorite club in the world, but I'm really...
Of course not.
No. Nothing, just analysis. But I think they proved, they proved that they can come back. They proved that they have this strength. They still proved that.
And Lona, the atmosphere is still there. Like, and they got some celebrities in their locker room or something.
Wow. I think now it's really the routine, always like there are a few stars that are coming, you saw like Omar Sy, for example, big singers, players also like Barcola was there yesterday at the game. So that was funny too, like football players, soccer players.
Yeah.
So no, I think it's, the VIPs like love them, love them because they know how to share with the crowd, with the fans, with the VIPs. So this is really great. I love it. And I can see them too. So I'm like, good. I can see.
And Paris is still the team that everybody is looking forward to beat. And I think it was really obvious after that scream from Zeljko Obradović that went viral after the Karlaftis Jones dunk. I've never seen Zeljko reacting like that, but I was more excited about how Isaiah Mike was in the bench, like impressed about how Zeljko was like hyped up, and I was like,
that scream.
I'm Isaiah Mike. I would react the same way.
But isn't it a win? I mean, a win is a win, and I think when you can make him scream like this, I mean, that's why I'm happy about the situation, because of course we're not like number one like at the beginning of the season for now, but I mean, this is huge because the Paris proved, they have influence. They influence the game, the EuroLeague season. So now we're talking about how can we beat them? How can we make them stay here, So I think it's a win too,
Vasiliki, I need to correct you about Zeljko. We already saw him being emotional and becoming all red and, yelling at players, but in a totally opposite way. So this is the first time we are seeing him like celebrating the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant. We've seen him turn red a thousand times, but never like that.
50 shades of red.
Of red, yes. But I think let's not forget that it's their first season in EuroLeague. Let's not forget that.
Yes.
Let's
And Lona, yeah. I will tell you how important it is for Serbian clubs to beat Paris, because that means that they are showing something new on the court in basketball terms. Like, yeah. Both teams, like Zvezda and Partizan, were totally confused at the beginning of the game, like with very, very fast switching in defense. And that is something that it's not usual to play against in Serbia. Yeah. So I think they completely taught something new to play. You know, the preparation of the game was totally different comparing to another. And we saw like a Partizan in very difficult shape in terms of a health issues before that game. Also the week before in double round week against Milan and Asvel as well. And, you know, I think it was a masterpiece of Željko Obradović, another one from him. At the end of the game, I think in the last quarter when he played with big guys, with two centers, I think that was the key for that win, because Paris like totally got confused at the end of the game and couldn't bounce back and everything, you know. So I think it's important to have a team as Paris in EuroLeague. They are one of a kind. And it's something that could be helpful and useful for another teams and also for the future of the competition. So I love them. I still love them.
Okay, so moving on from one capital of fashion, Paris, to another capital of fashion, Milan. Julia, how's life without Mirat? It's not pretty shiny.
It's hard. It's hard. That's why I was just listening to you talking about Paris, because in Milan, it's not so shiny. And I don't think that all the people from all EuroLeague love Milan in the same way that they love Paris. Obviously, even Milan fans, I think that in these moments are not, pass me the term, loving so much the team, because obviously something is happening without Mirotic. And Mirotic was the one that was carrying the whole team,
yes.
In particular in this moment of EuroLeague, obviously things are going worse. And if we have to face all the injuries that Milan is having at the moment, it's not just Nikola Mirotic that, as I said, was one of the best players, but even Zach Lidej 2 weeks ago suffered in the Italian League, in one of the Italian League game. Now, luckily to us, he's back on track, so that's a good thing. But we don't have Milan, because I'm outside of that. But speaking in Italian terms, Milan doesn't have a real number five, because since Mirotić is out, Josh Nibo is out from I don't even remember when, and I don't know when it's going to be back. Usman Diop is out again. And in particular, in kind of moments of the season and in important moments of the games, you need someone with experience. So if you don't have Nibo, if you don't have Mirotić, and if you don't have Fabian Kaiser available to play, who will play for you? And I was the one at the beginning of the season saying that players like Dimitrijević or Bulmaro needed time. But now I cannot say that the time is over, because it's obviously not. But it's hard. And if you face what's going to happen next week, or better, this week, they're going to play against Panathinaikos in their home soil. But, you know, in Milan, say in home or away, it's quite the same, because as I mentioned a few times before this podcast, and Ettore Messina said the same, in EuroLeague, except from some arenas, it's hard to say when you play home or when you play away. Every game is a game and every game matters, as EuroLeague says. But it's hard. Then double week round, two games away from home, one in Munich and the other one in Kaunas against Žalgiris, and in particular against Andrea Trinchieri. And we all know how's the relationship between Trinchieri and the Italian teams. He always win. So, and
spoiler
after
alert,
that,
if you didn't know.
I'm sorry. It's the truth. It's the truth. And then the Italian Cup. And guess who's going to play against Virtus Bologna in the quarterfinals? Yeah. And Virtus Bologna is stepping up in this moment, even if they lost against Monaco. But I actually don't know what's going to happen from that moment on. I think that in Milan, fans do not know what's going to happen. They are a little bit worried, because the team, people were expecting too much from that team. And when it's just 10 games to go to the regular season of EuroLeague, they obviously expected Milan to be higher in the standing. And without those injuries, you cannot predict injuries, but you can do something to prevent this kind of situation. Let's see what's going to happen. I'm sorry I'm not too shiny in this moment.
Julia, I would love to add, speaking, we usually don't speak about players that we don't have opportunity to watch, which is the case with Josh Nebo from the beginning of the season almost. But it's so, so sad that he's not able to help his team, because I watched him a lot last season playing for Maccabi. And I was so happy about his going to Milan, because I was hoping that we are going to watch him on like higher level, you know. But I think it's pretty hard period for him right now. So I guess we all agree, just like send love to Josh and we wish him good recovery. Yes. Because, yeah, I think he can provide a lot to one team and to have like completely different season comparing to this one. And he can be very helpful to the team, but also to have some individual quality to change some things in the whole competition, not only in the team. So yeah, I cannot wait to have him back on the court.
It was just weird and so, so sad that the day when he got that injury again, it was an early game, if I remember well, and he was just going back to the bench and he got the towel up in his head and he was crying. And I think that he was not crying because he was suffering.
No,
he was crying for the injury. Because he would be out again.
Yes. Yes, that's the thing. And one thing that I love to mention every time is that obviously when you are a player and you cannot play and you cannot stay in the bench, you stay outside. But every time he's probably one of the first one to come into the gym and to come into the arena when it's game day, and he's always ready to cheer for his team and for his teammate in particular. So I'm really sorry for him.
Me
it's
too.
Like it's I think the same kind of love that all the EuroLeague sent to Matthias Lesor when it happened.
Yeah, unfortunately injuries are part of the game and they ruin the fun many times. But let's move on. Let's go a little back to the Serbia derby. I have a burning question for Alex.
Just don't ask me to predict.
No. Not yet. It was in round 11 when Partizan beat Zvezda after 8 losses in just 2 games into the season. And they turned everything around. Since that time, they have like 10 wins and 2 losses. Is that correct?
Yeah, you're correct. Totally correct. That's how like derby can change things in a season.
Yeah. Can we see the tables turn now in favor of Red Star, of Jan Sferopoulos' team?
Well, I'm afraid to predict anything on the Serbian derby. That's what I said also before round 11, if I remember well. But it's not a secret that Zvezda is not playing that good right now. So probably it's going to be like a kind of extra motivation for them, which was the case also with Partizan in that round 11. But I think, again, once again in a season, the defense and defensive part of the game could be a crucial one. And numbers are on Partizan side right now. But also Crvena Zvezda is not that far. And I think it's a bit different maybe now, because Zvezda, it's not in such a bad period of season as Partizan was at first, like at the beginning of the season. So I'm not sure how the game's going to look like. I would say it would be an equal one. And if we have... at the end of the game with a lot of free throws, I think that goes to Partizan sides, speaking about the number and percentages, you know. But we will see. I'm not sure. I would love to see a game as usual with huge amount of points. But on the other side, I know that both teams are going to try their best in defense. So, yeah, it's hard to predict. I think, of course, atmosphere is going to be on the Partizan side, but it's not something that can be a crucial, as you said, like Partizan won as away team in the first season's derby. So, it can be difficult to predict anything, but the only thing that we know that is going to be a hell of an atmosphere inside the arena, and I can't wait to see that. Of course, Zvezda will have about 1,000 fans inside the arena. That's the deal between two clubs, and that's something that became usual for EuroLeague derbies not for the domestic ones, but we are waiting for...
That's a different conversation
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we are waiting for that to happen. I hope it's going to be soon as well. But it's going to be interesting. I think both teams will have some players getting back to from the injuries. We still don't have the official information from Partizan, neither from Zvezda, but I think Nemanja Nedović is going to be prepared for this game as well. We have one guy from Zvezda that is going to be his first time playing a Serbian derby. It's John Brown. So we will see how he's going to adjust, you know, and to prepare in terms of the mental preparation of the game and everything like that. So, yeah, it's going to be funny to watch. And also for me and Shani, it's going to be first time doing a pregame show. So yeah,
we will all be rooting for that for sure.
And I hope so.
I don't want to put you in a difficult situation to choose the winner, but I will ask the other girls. Luna, who do you see winning and who will have the highest PIR of the game?
Whoa. Impossible. Oh, wow. You got me. Impossible to tell.
So it's up to me even to get enemies from Belgrade, not only for
be
her
careful,
so
Julia,
thank you.
Be careful.
See, I remember that in the first part of the EuroLeague in France podcast, I was just talking about Madrid. So even from Spain, so I cannot move anymore around Europe. I'm sorry.
You're dangerous,
for
Julia.
That. But you girls need to protect me when I come to your country.
We got your back.
So for me, thank you. So for me, from what I saw just a few weeks ago in Milan, I think that my vote goes to Partizan because of the energy, because of the fact that they play home, if I'm not, if I'm saying it in the right way, because I want to see that bread color in Obradovic's face again. And because, as I mentioned, I saw the energy that time against Milan. And obviously, Milan is not Red Star and they play differently. It's a different atmosphere. It's almost different everything. But I'm rooting. I don't know. I'm just saying that they will get the win. And if I have to choose the MVP too, because, you know, like that, it's my turn now. I would say, I don't know, Karlik Jones. Because from what I saw in Milan, he was just going crazy. And I'm just going to repeating them. Milan and the players of Milan are not Red Star and the players of Red Star. But I don't know. I just felt like that. And fan of Red Star, please donate me. Come on, please.
I will make Red Star fans a bit happier, saying that I think that usually in these type of derbies, the ones that have like the label of the favorite, because like Partizan is at the hot strike right now, don't usually win. So maybe there's a good chance for Red Star to grab this one. And if this happens, I think that Felipe Trusev will have a crucial.
Thank you, Vasiliki.
Part.
That's what I wanted to say.
Yes.
So yeah, maybe I cannot choose a winner, but Felipe Trusev is my kind of favorite to get an MVP, like let's say award.
Okay, and since we have that settled as well, we have 10 more rounds in the regular season. So I wanted to ask you girls, what do you expect to happen? Like a big change, like a surprise, something?
Well, I think that this is the obviously hottest part of the season. So if some teams wanted to get it up, I wanted to get higher and higher into the standing, this is the moment to do it. I cannot speak for my side because the Italians, I don't even know what they want to do. But on the other side, on the other hand, I think that teams like Virtus Bologna, if they want to keep and if they want to stay in EuroLeague even the next season, and we're not talking about license, but we're just talking about performances, I think that they just want to show the best that they can. And they're doing that with Dusko. So that is the moment. And if you want to show what you are made of and what you want to do this season, but even building things for the next season, you have to do it now. So yes, for me, things will change, not as much in the higher part of the standing, but in the lower part of it, something will change.
If I can still talk about France, I think Monaco did like what we call a remontada. Like it's. I think they did like a huge comeback, and then the last game was like impressive. Mike James, you know, like, it's just Mike James.
Just do Mike James things.
I like to see. I want to see what's next for them. Like for the 10 last round of the last 10 rounds. I think it's gonna be nice to see.
Do you see Monaco advancing to the Final Four? Because we all did our Final Four predictions in the previous episode, yeah. But you haven't shared yours yet.
Well, first, you know, at the beginning of the season, what I said about the Final Four was it. I don't know. But I think, yeah, Monaco can have the cards to do it, has the card to do it. I think they have, for what I saw from the last game, I think they have what it takes to get it to the Final Four. I don't know if you agree with me.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, totally agree.
You do, yeah?
Yep.
Which are the other three spots? Who is taking them?
I think Fenerbahce. Then, of course, I would say Paris. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, maybe there is a chance. But you know what I said at the beginning. So I won't say anything about this. We'll see at the Final Four. And then Olympiacos, I think. Mm-hmm. Olympiacos, I think they...
So Pana out?
No, but if it's not Paris, then Pana. I'm going to have enemies too. You know, no. Of course, if I'm objective, of course, they will be in the Final Four. But I wish my, my team, favorite team in the world to go to the Final Four. But no, I think it's going to be like, it's going to be difficult to see.
So I hate to say this, but this is all we have time for today. Thanks a lot for tuning in again to another EuroLeague and Friends episode. Don't forget, this week's rivalry series game is, of course, the Serbian derby between Partizan Mostar Bet Belgrade and Kpenas Zvezda Meridian Bet Belgrade. What's this? And 8 more games on EuroLeague TV. Tune in for the pregame show that amazing Alex and Shani Vlad will host in Belgrade. On EuroLeague TV and on EuroLeague's YouTube. Comment, share, subscribe to our podcast. And if you prefer just an audio, we're also available on all audio platforms. See you all next week. Luna, have fun in the City of Lights. Alex and Sunny, Schmas, the premium show, will be watching.
Thank you.
So, Julia, I heard you wanted to change positions with me and come to Athens. Is that correct?
Yeah, totally correct.
Okay, let's do the swap. 3, 2, 1, go.
What?
What?
What's going on, girls?
Sun is shining here. Wow.
And it's raining in Milan. But I think I know some Italian now. Like, arrivederci a tutti?
Yes, it's Italian. How about my Greek? Yesas, apolaste ta pachnidia.
You just wished the fans to enjoy the games. Like, that's amazing. Enjoy the games, everyone. Thanks again for tuning in.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yasas. Yes,